When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast, answering your questions from the General's Quarters every week, right here on VolQuest.
Hey, good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome to the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast. I'm Eric Kane with Brent Hubbs and Rob Lewis. As always, big thank you to our friends Exterior Home Solutions for being the presenting sponsor of this show. Local and trusted since 1999. Pick up the phone today for a free estimate, 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Boys, we got a lot to get into. We'll go ahead and start with a little basketball talk. Rob Lewis, this is from Action0212. Give five portal players for basketball the Vols might be involved with.
I mean, I'll throw a bunch out. I mean, that might be involved with. I mean, I would say more than involved with. I would say these are guys that I think Tennessee has interest with. I think involved.
A little early.
Involved to me at least implies that, hey, you know, we're trying to get you on campus. We like you enough to, you know, pay for you and your parents coming on an official visit. So anyway, I think we're in the kicking the tires stage on a lot of guys. I think some guys that Tennessee has interest in, and Grant Ramey is, you know, responsible for these names as well. Grant's been chasing them down. Darlington Stone from Hartford. He's a big long guard, Hofstra, not Hartford. Junior guard, has played at Hofstra, started his career at Iowa State. He's been at Hofstra for the last three. Chaz Lanier is a interesting. He's at North Florida. He's a guard, just finished his junior year, averaged almost 20 points a game. He's originally from Nashville, played at Innsworth. So that one, you know, makes him interesting. Shot over 40% from 3-point range. BJ Freeman played at Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I think he's a little interesting because, you know, he's from Selma, North Carolina. Anytime you see North Carolina with, you know, somebody Tennessee's involved with, you think of Justin Gainey and the guys that he's brought in from both North and South Carolina in his 3 years of the program. Freeman started, he's 6'6", a long guard, started his career at junior college and had a nice year at Milwaukee last year, averaged 18 points a game. Aaron Scott is a name from North Texas. He's another 6'6", 6'7" wing. That's a stretch guy, athletic, can shoot to three. Terrence Edwards Jr. is a guy from James Madison that everybody's going to be that everybody is in on, including Tennessee, trying to, you know, see what's going on there. After the year James Madison had, he's a popular name. Another 6'6", 6'7" wing guy that you know, shoots the three, puts it on the floor. One of the only guys, you know, that at least I wouldn't necessarily say on the list. One of the only names I think, at least that I've heard from a power school, is Eric Daly, Oklahoma State. Kind of a limited offensive guy, 9.3 points a game, five or six rebounds, 6'8", 6'9", kind of a burly guy. And St. Thomas is a name that a lot of people on VolQuest have been throwing around just because he played at Northern Colorado, Dalton's former school, and was a pretty big time scorer this past year, much like Dalton was, but also like Dalton, started his career elsewhere at Loyola Chicago. So that's a bunch of names, you know, right there that I would say. And again, Grant is responsible for compiling a lot of that too. Just a lot of guys that I think Tennessee is in the initial stages of, you know, really gather information on, trying to, you know, call coaches, you know, that they have worked with, coaches that maybe the players have played for or coached against, and just, you know, gathered a lot of information, because, you know, we say it all the time, but I mean, this is legit. Hubbard, you know this, you're around. I mean, it's not just about ability. It's so much about fit, you know, with this program. So much about fit.
And you got to make that determination in a hurry, right? I mean, you don't have 6 months to figure out if they're the right fit and four visits. I mean, you got to make that on really initial impressions and kind of what, you know, guys are around other guys. The other thing you have to do too, Rob, is you got to know how many spots you're dealing with, right?
Yep.
I mean, how much room you got. And it's probably going to be the weekend or thereafter before you have an idea of that, don't you think?
Absolutely. We're not trying to start any rumors, but in this day and age, if you don't keep your eye, you know, on your own roster, I mean, you got your head in the sand.
Right.
I mean, you got kids, you know, tweeting out that they're leaving, you know, before the regular season's even over, before their conference tournaments are even over. So, you know, to think that Tennessee's not, you know, self-recruiting some of their own kids right now, or in some cases, maybe evaluating if they do want to bring guys back. You know, because I can't take credit for this tweet. Fran Franchella, I thought, had a great point this week when he, you know, tweeted out that, hey, you know, keep in mind some of these guys you see in the portal basically got fired. You know, not everybody is, you know, was running towards the portal of their own free will. Yep. You know, there might be some reasons besides, you know, beyond just ability that they're leaving. So I think we're in the early stages. You know, I'm not saying that Tennessee hasn't been doing any work in the portal. I can promise you that they have, but obviously the focus, you know, at least for the full-time staff, has been on scouting the next opponent and trying to make the Final Four. But I can promise you they have shifted gears and everything is all the energy is on the portal now. And as Brent just mentioned, you know, having end of year meeting, having exit interviews with your own guys, you know, seeing what their goals are. Do they mesh up with yours? And that's an increasingly important, you know, thing in today's climate of college basketball. I will say, you know, I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but, you know, just given the way the landscape was out there, that, I mean, to say, it sounds crazy to say 72 hours in, we've not heard of any Tennessee guy, you know, hitting the portal, but when you look at what's out there, you know, in the landscape, that's kind of an outlier.
Yeah, no doubt. And just like in football, you got to turn the page real quick, and that's what Tennessee basketball is doing right now. Rob, we'll give you a break just for a second, but I do want to get your input on this next question. This is from South Pitt Vol. Can Tennessee conceivably be as good or better next year in hoops? Lots of pieces are returning for Barnes, and he's shown over and again his ability to develop players that remain deep on the roster, Brent.
Well, I mean, obviously Rob's going to have a better answer for this than me. I mean, it depends on what your roster looks like coming back, but somebody posted the link last night on the message board on Wednesday night, I guess, or Tuesday night on the message board, with 23 minutes of Dalton Connect highlights. And I watched those and was reminded of, man, you're just not replacing that. You're not going to come close to replacing that. And what he did for Tennessee and how much better he made everybody else offensively. Man, you're going to be so different offensively without him next year, Rob, that I think, you know, even if you go out and get a shooter, I don't think you're going to find a guy who can take over a game the way that he took over games for Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee is going to be as offensively explosive as they were this past year because of what he could do. Could be wrong. More people are going to have to step up, you know, but gosh, it's just his ability to take over games was just dumb. I mean, just crazy to see. I don't know how you replicate that in any way, shape, or form.
No, I mean, they might make a run to the Elite Eight again. I mean, just because crazy things happen in the tournament, I don't think there's any way they'll be as good. I mean, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but you just don't find those guys. I mean, he's one of the best five players that I think any of us, and, you know, as far as young whippersnapper, best two or three players he's ever seen wear a Tennessee uniform, you know, and play that sport. And again, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but it just ain't happening, man. You're not replacing that cat. I mean, and I mean, you talked about, you know, 23-minute clear. It probably could have been 50.
Yeah.
You know, and still, you know, been pretty solid. I mean, I think Tennessee would be very good. Zakai, you know, bring him back in, all SEC point guard, defensive player of the year. I know everybody's down on Jonas Adu, but still, you know, made tremendous – everybody in the country would like to be bringing back Jonas Adu on their college basketball team. Everybody. Toby, I mean, you got some pieces. I mean, you can pencil Tennessee in as an NCAA tournament team for sure, in my opinion. I think Cam Carr is going to – I think people are going to love Cam Carr. If Freddie's back, I think he's going to be – he can be a big-time player. But I just don't see them being as good. I mean, you're talking about – what one of the four consensus first team All-Americans that this program's ever had, SEC Player of the Year. I don't, they will not be the ceiling will not be as high. They might go as far, but they won't be one of the best teams in the country, in my opinion, and they were.
We will stay with hoops. A lot of hoops questions here on today's mailbag. If Coach Rick Barnes could not trust his young big man during the regular season, why would he put him on Zach Edey in such a big game? Do you believe that he's hurting his team by not allowing some of the young players to develop before the postseason? Obviously talking about JP Estrella in that situation.
I mean, Jonas Adu made first team all SEC. I mean, I guess I kind of get the question, but to act like, you know, coach, that there was some coaching malpractice going on when he was playing the guy that was the first team all SEC center more. I mean, I think Rick should play his young kids more in November, December, but if you think that, you know, not giving, I think you're looking for a reason to complain if you're worried, you know. What about developing Jonas Adu from a nobody to a first team all SEC player this year?
Well, I mean, and you played Estrella against in that game because Jonas was a non-factor defensively and Tobey was in foul trouble and fouled out. I mean, if Jonas had played well and Tobey had managed, they'd been able to manage some fouls to a degree, JP Estrella would have played just a handful of minutes. I think if you go back, Rob, JP Estrella played against Zach Edey in Maui. I think he got on the court against.
Well, he had to because Tobey and Jonas played 25 minutes total before they fouled out.
And fouled out. So, I mean, you know, it was a situation where, I mean, Rick Barnes was looking for someone who could do something to try to slow Zach Edey down. And Jonas had given him no indication in the first half of basketball that he was going to be able to do that. And then Tobey fouled out. So where are you going to go next? I mean, you're going to put Josiah on him? I mean, like, he was option three, and option two had fouled out, and option one was ineffective, right?
I will say, if JP had averaged 10 minutes a game instead of 5 minutes a game, I still think he would have had his absolute hands full with Zach Edey on Sunday in Detroit.
Well, who's not got their hands full with him right now? Now, I will say this. I'm with you 100%. There are some games that I watch that, you know, Tennessee's comfortable. They have a comfortable lead, and you're looking down there, and you're like, they're just not even going to play him. I mean, I thought he could have played his young players in the opening round of the NCAA tournament faster, right? I mean, I thought he could have got some of those guys, you know, some minutes there, and he didn't. And certainly in the early part of the season against some of the non-conference deals, I think there's a chance to play younger players faster. But we all know where the old school version of Rick Barnes comes from, Rob. If you're not doing it on the practice floor, you're not going to get – you don't just get rewarded with playing time because the score is lopsided. That's just not the way he operates.
I mean, whether fans agree with it or not, and I can see both sides of it, but the fact that you're up 40 against Norfolk State in December, you're not getting minutes just because Tennessee is up 40. You're not getting minutes because you practice like crap on Tuesday. And just because the team's up 40, you're not getting 8 minutes. And that's the way he looks at it. You know, agree or disagree. I mean, I can promise you that's how it works.
All right, we'll move on now. Next, we'll go to Gator Dog. It's been 4 weeks, Hubs. So, as of April the 4th, go down every football
bringing these questions
position group, better or worse than the 2023, no wait and sees. How about this? Let's rephrase it. On April the 4th, give me a position group, or however many you got, that you think is going to be better this season than last season. I think linebacker is going to be better because they were not good last year. I think the secondary has potential to be better, but I don't know. I will have to wait and see literally because they've never played in the SEC, right? But I'll give you linebacker and I'll give you wide receivers because the wide receivers were not good last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're sitting here today, I like this team at receiver better. I like them at quarterback better. I think they're going to be fine on the offensive line if they stay healthy. My concern about them is their depth, not their starting five. I think they're going to be right there, better, you know, as good as they were a year ago, if not better. I think there's a chance they could be better if they stay healthy. I don't think they're as good at running back right now because I still think Cam Seldon is unproven. And with the injury, this is, you know, unfortunate loss of a lot of practice time he needs. We haven't seen Dylan Sampson. We saw him carry the load in the fourth quarter against Kentucky, but we haven't seen him do it for a month. So there's a little bit of unprovenness there. They're going to be better on the defensive line, and they were good last year. If Peely stays healthy at linebacker and Carter, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be fine at linebacker, and they're more athletic in the secondary. Does that mean they're going to be better back there? It should mean they're better because I think they're going to be more athletic. So, yeah. You know, overall, I mean, I think this team, I like this team. I like a lot about this team. There's some questions, and Rob, you know this. I mean, we do this, whether it's the basketball team or the football team or whatever. When you cover them every day and you're in the middle of it every day, you pick every scab known to man about every little thing on the team. I mean, you really do. Like, well, they could be better here and they could be better. The reality is, big picture, taking a step back, not being completely immersed in it, this should be a better football team than they were a year ago if they stay healthy. Now, you got to answer the bell at running back. You know, there's a couple – you got to answer the – you know, at secondary, you got to play better. But I think they're more talented. I like their talent level back there.
No.
I think you make a great point. It's like – I mean, some of my wife's friends think I'm a great husband. They don't see, you know, they don't see me every day. They don't see everything.
Exactly right. That's
you exactly. Know, if you ask her, you know, she can rattle off 27 things.
That's exactly right.
Or, you know, like, you know, if you cover Ole Miss or something, you know, you'd have questions about the backup left guard or the, you know, the depth at linebacker, and just, you know, it's just, you just get inside baseball with it when you're around it all the time. Because how much can you say, man, Nico looks really good. Or there's so much more athletic in the secondary. I mean, how much can you pump that up before you?
Well, I mean, you talk about, well, Nico's really good. He make all the throws. And then my immediate response out of that is, you know, but he probably takes too many chances. I mean, he's going to have to get a little more control, stay in the pocket a little longer, right? Not try to squeeze everything in there, learn to play the next play. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got Nico. He'll be lucky to be the starter.
And 4 years ago, you were watching Kel and Chris take meaningful exactly. Stats. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I too think the quarterback position will be better this year than it was last year. I didn't mention that, but that would be one of my positions too. Southerner 98, who was the Josh Heupel, Nate Oates-esque candidate that we need to be looking at for Danny White that he made to target to revamp the Lady Vols basketball program and bring back renewed interest and excitement?
I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, if you're looking for the Josh Heupel candidate, which would be somebody that Danny White had worked with before, then you got to look at the head coach at Syracuse. Who was on the head coach at Buffalo during White's tenure there as the athletics director. That's somebody that he's worked with in the past, who's had some success that, okay, maybe could be a candidate. That's why her name has shown up on candidates' boards. That's why I mentioned her on Monday, the day the news broke. I've got no idea if that's where Danny White's going to go. I think hiring the next Nate Oates is a really challenging sell, Rob, because when you look at when Nate Oates got the job, I mean, he was a former high school coach, right? I mean, he was just getting started. I mean, are you really going to pay $2.2 million to get rid of a younger coach who wasn't successful? And are you going to take a risk on somebody, or do you have to hire somebody with a better resume, but given the financial investment you're making in hiring, right? I mean, you were paying Kelly Harper $1.1 million. Are you going to come back and pay some up-and-coming assistant or some up-and-coming small school coach, you know, half of what you were paying Kelly Harper to get started? Is that the sell you're going to present to a fan base who's probably looking for a bigger name given the financial investment you're making into making this change?
Yeah, I mean, Hubbard, I don't pretend to have my finger on the pulse of that whole situation, but the perception that Danny White created when he was willing to write that check for Kelly to part ways with Kelly Harper, you know, in a year when, you know, they made the NCAA tournament, you know, won a game. I mean, it's not like
lost to a Final Four team on their home floor got outed.
And, you know, almost pulled off the miracle in the SEC tournament. I mean, it just wasn't like you would say this was rock bottom. My point being, that tells me that he's – I don't know what, you know, what a splash hire looks like in women's college basketball, but that he's wanting to invest in this program. And that if it was going to be you know, somebody that was unproven, it would be somebody that he had a ton of confidence in.
And probably some kind of history in, yes, right? Was an assistant that, on a staff while he was at, you know, UCF or Buffalo or whatever. I mean, I looked at, you know, that his coach at UCF is now the head coach in Athens, Georgia. And she took everybody with her from UCF to Georgia to be the head coach. You know, I don't know that he would go that direction from Georgia. I don't know if there's anybody on that staff that, you know, he would think, hey, they're ready to be a first-time head coach. But, man, that's a heck of a sell to try to sell to the fan base saying, hey, we're going to turn this thing around quickly with somebody who's got a lot to learn on the job as a first-time head coach, or someone who's got a lot to learn his job coming from the D2 ranks or the D3 ranks or the lower level ranks. I mean, it just feels like right now it would be a bigger name than that at a more established program with a bigger resume. But again, I, as I said on the board, and I'm not going to sit here and try to shape it any other way, I do not have very many women's college basketball sources around the country.
Yeah.
And so I don't know where Danny White's going to go. What I think he's going to do, he's going to finish up with a final three candidates, probably things two of them he could absolutely get. One may be a swing for the fences type deal, and probably try to get to a podium with a new coach by Monday would be my timeline guess if I was just straight guessing right now.
Yeah, but no matter what, there's only going to be one offer made, right?
Yeah, there's always just one offer.
I would say my biggest takeaway, because Hubbard, much like you, I wouldn't pretend to, you know, have a ton of sources of women's college basketball, but Danny's decision to do that tells me that program matters to him. Like fixing it and getting it back matters to him, because it would have been really easy to kick the can down the road for mm-hmm. one more year.
Yeah,
really easy. Well, I mean, there would have been, you know, some people were upset, but not by it. And, you know, sports talk hotlines wouldn't have been burned up. Our message board, it wouldn't have been the number one topic on our message board. I mean, he could have justified keeping her for one more year. You know, played for Pat, just made the tournament. You could point to some signs, and he didn't do that. I mean, he made a kind of a controversial decision in some quarters, which tells me it's like I said, the perception for me is that he really, you know, wants to do something about it and, you know, have a program that's worthy of its legacy.
Well, think about this. I mean, this will be the biggest financial investment ever made into the program. Now, you can go back into the Pat Summit days, and they were traveling by charter, and she became a million-dollar coach, and they were making greater investments than everybody else was. But when you talk about spending, okay, I mean, you're going to spend over the next 2 years, 3 years, you're going to spend between $2.5 and $3 million for some people not to work for you. Okay. And then you're going to go buy somebody out of their contract just to get to hire them. And then you're going to pay them, and you're probably going to pay them more than $1.1 million, which is what you were paying Kelly Harper. Never has there been this much financial commitment made to that sport, which tells you, you're exactly right, Rob, that he wants to go win. He's a basketball guy at the end of the day, man. Guy played basketball, basketball family. You know, he likes basketball, and I think he wants to put his stamp on trying to get the Lady Vol brand back to where it's supposed to be.
Tennessee, unfortunately, is no longer in the tournament, but the tournament will continue on, and you need to sneak in some of those tournament games while you're at work. Prime Video has got you covered. You can watch every game live on your phone, on your laptop. You can relax and watch it at home on Prime Video with a subscription. Prime Video gives you choices to add on channels like Paramount Plus Max, both featuring NCAA tournament games all in one place. It's March, it's madness. You can stream all on Prime Video. We got plenty more questions to get into, but first, a word from our proud sponsors. That's Exterior Home Solutions.
Severe weather can strike at any time in East Tennessee, and Mother Nature can do severe damage to the first and most important line of defense that you and your family have against Mother Nature, and that is your roof. Whenever she strikes, make sure that you call the people that I call. Make sure you trust the people that I trust, and that's my friends at Exterior Home Solutions, because they're more than friends, they're truly family.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
As always, a big thank you to our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions. If you have a need, pick up the phone today for a free estimate. You can call 865-524-5888 or visit them online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. This one will be fun. Let's try to pick up the pace a little bit with it, but this one will be fun. It's from Mathrun. Who is your all-time Tennessee team to take on a run for a championship in basketball? Include a coach as well.
All-time team?
All-time.
Well, I think you got to put scorers on there, right? Dalton Connect's going to make that list for me. I'm going to put Bernard King on that list because they're playing two separate positions and doing two separate things. You got to have guard play. I mean, Ernie Grunfeld, I like Zakai, I guess. Grant Williams would be on there. You got to defend, maybe Rob. Who's your best defender that you're gonna pick of all time to be on a basketball team? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's hard to come up with just five because eras are different. You know, what does Dell Ellis look like in today's game, right, Rob, compared to what Dell Ellis looked like in a day and age where there's no 3-point line and he was playing, with his back, you know, to the basket the whole time.
He would be unrecognizable. I mean, as with a 3-point line. I mean, it's hard to, you know.
Allen Houston, right?
I mean, Allen Houston play anytime.
Yeah, he can score. Chris Lofton, there's some scores. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that you can put up five. As for a coach, I mean, Rick's got to be right there, right? Given his experience, Bruce Pearl. I mean, I think those would be your top two picks for coaches, right, Rob? Am I missing anybody?
Those would be my top two. I mean, I wasn't around for the Mayor's stuff. I don't remember all that. I mean, obviously, those were some great teams and entertaining. But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty short list.
Bigger position battle: wide receiver or defensive back? I think this is pretty cut and dry, Brent. This is defensive back because you're looking for starters and it's completely new. I mean, wide receiver, you love the competition there, but you do bring back some returners and you love the competition of wide receivers. We spoke on the 2-minute drill yesterday, but defensive back for me.
Yeah, no question. I mean, because you're replacing everybody back there. Yeah. So you feel good about what you're at, but to me, that's the bigger deal because if Brew McCoy's healthy, Brew McCoy's playing, Squirrel White's playing, and then the question becomes how many receivers do you play?
Yeah.
I think that's the question mark about that group. Whereas in the defensive backfield, you're going to try to play three or four corners. You know, you're going to play, you know, two, maybe three safeties. You're going to play 7-8 guys in the back end. You know, how many more beyond three are you going to play at the receiver position? Unless there's injury.
Well, in the secondary too, you got guys, you know, upperclassmen transfers coming in from other programs that are figuring in the mix for, you know, starting spots.
Right. And you got one of those at the receiver position, not three.
Who will back up Nico this year? Gasson Moore or Jake Merklinger? Brent, if they played today, it'd be Gasson Moore for sure. I would assume they're probably entering the season. Probably Gasson Moore, but eventually you want Merklinger to take over that backup job, if you will.
Well, I think, again, what's the role? What are you talking about role? Are you talking about mop-up duty at the end of the game?
Straight backup. Say Nico goes down.
It's
straight
Gaston backup. Moore. It's Gaston Moore.
Yeah.
Now, if Nico's going to be out for an extended period of time, you know, he's going to miss multiple games, we're in a different conversation. But if Nico rolls an ankle, Nico's got to miss a couple of series, then it's going to be Gaston Moore.
Should we be talking about this?
Part of it.
Are you suggesting that I'm trying to speak something into existence?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, the golden child, the chosen woman. Should we even be talking about this?
Well, we tried to speak a Final Four into existence and came up short. So.
You're exactly right. Well, next question.
Sam Smith, 22-33. Beam has never had the stuff of a guy like Blade or Burns, but he's always been good on weekends. This year, he's given up 17 runs, 12 earned, and 16 SEC innings, 4 doubles, 1 triple, and 5 home runs. How worried should we be about Beam with AJ out? He's got to carry these guys, and he's been struggling to get moving should they move him back to Sunday. Yeah, I think there's deserving. I mean, yeah, there's some worry there for Beam, in my opinion. Now, he's shown that he can pitch in this league for 2.5 years. So you know he can kind of get it back on track. You saw what he did. He just flipped the switch in postseason play last year. But he's throwing too many balls over the heart of the plate, especially ahead in counts. He's always going to pitch to contact, but you need those to be singles and not home runs. And so he's got to get in gear for sure. You know, there's some worry there right now, in my opinion. Also, do you think they should start Cannon Peebles in the midweeks to try to get him going? Yeah, he just needs to continue to play. That is the biggest I wrote about in 3-2-1. Like, I'm shocked, to be completely honest. He was so great in fall. He was so great in winter. He was really good as a hitter last year at NC State. Maybe DH him a little bit to see if that gets him going. That way he's only worried about the bat. I mean, it's all there. I just think that he's pressing so much right now. And Wolfpack Vol brought up a good point the other day on the board. He reminds me of what Blake Burke was doing last year, to be completely honest. And just playing too stressed. So they need to get him going. I would play him in the midweeks. I'd do anything, maybe play him a DH. But they got to get Cannon Peebles going for sure to bring a little bit more oomph to the bottom of the order. Let's move on now to Vulcan. He said, did JP Estrella's 15 minutes against Purdue change what the Vols are looking for in the transfer portal?
No, I don't think so at all. Tennessee was not looking to run JP off or – I mean, no, I think Tennessee's been very high on GP. They're high on Cade Phillips. So I don't think a big is a – I mean, unless you just find somebody that knocks your socks off. I mean, I don't think that's a huge need at all. They've been high on those kids all season.
They may be as deep at that position as they've been since Rick Barnes has been here, Rob.
I don't think any doubt. I mean, assuming you get everybody back, and, I mean, that's an assumption this day and age, but not many people are bringing back a first team all conference big guy in any team in any league. And I mean, how many teams are bringing back a junior reserve like Tobe? Not many.
If you can get them all back, you're going to be deep at that spot. You're going to have a nice rotation.
Speaking of JP, this is from ATL VFL. The story on Estrella was that he was a guard before his growth spurt and his three-point range. Any chance he is starting to be a stretch four for Tennessee next year?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance. I mean, I'm not saying it will 100% happen, but yeah, I think long-term, a lot of people see JP being that 100% chance. Now, whether that's, ever becomes his full-time role at Tennessee, I don't know about that, but I think down the road, a lot of people see that as where his potential lies.
Which, Rob, gets back to the point that they may have more flexibility than they've had in a while, too. I mean, this team this past year could play big and small, but they had to be careful with their bigs and managing foul trouble. If you've got enough depth there at the big, you could go small again with Mayshak at down there, or you could go Estrella there with another big. I mean, you've got all kinds of potential flexibility if this roster comes back intact.
And I don't want to say JP's going to be Dirk Nowitzki yet, but – he could if he does turn into a legit stretch four, he can give them a different kind of big. They can play different kinds of combinations with bigs that they, never have been able to before. But you could play, if him and, he can actually be the forward, with Tobe at the five, where, going, if Tobe plays with Jonas, that's not an option.
Right.
Let's go to Andrew Akins. What do you think the cause is for the not equal balance on the roster in terms of upperclassmen, underclassmen at certain positions? Is it COVID, recruiting misses in some classes? Is that I don't think I've ever seen such a high number of seniors like you've seen them on both lines of scrimmage. What is the fix to have people ready to go and play next year? I think COVID's got a lot to do with that, Brent.
Sure, it's got everything to do with it when you look at what all's coming back on the defensive line. I mean, I don't think anybody thought last August that they were going to bring back Omari Thomas, Bryson Eason, Omar Norman Lott, and Elijah Simmons, that all of those guys would come back. If you got two of them back, you probably felt pretty good about things. They got all of them back, and then on the offensive line, they get Mays back and Spraggins is there. And so that creates some of that. And then what happens is, when those super seniors come back, then some of those that would be the middle class of your roster, being your sophomores, redshirt sophomores, or a junior, those guys leave you, yeah. Right? They depart you. They go into the transfer portal. That's why LSU is probably going to have two All-American preseason All-American tackles and then a couple of first-year freshmen as their backup tackles because Lance Hurd left because he didn't want to wait anymore, right? And that's the world we live in. That's why I think you're always going to see, you know, some older team. You're going to have elders, and then you're going to have really young. I don't know that a lot of middle guys are going to be there because I don't think they're going to have the patience to stay and be somewhat in the rotation, right? I mean,
and just one more side of that ever is that the transfers you're bringing in are going to be older guys.
Yeah, they're going to be older guys. I mean, look, I mean, we're talking about the depth at wide receiver. I mean, assuming everybody stays, right? But I mean, if some people don't stay, you could be old, and then you could be really young, and not have a whole lot in the middle right there. I mean, that's we'll see. I mean, I just think it's hard to keep even depth all the way through. With the transfer portal and everybody's still dealing with the COVID years too. You just got some old dudes.
Could be good for Tennessee on the defensive line this year for sure. And also John Campbell is a seventh year college player. I mean, goodness gracious. Let's go to Hoover Vol as we head into April. How are the Vols sitting with the following blue chip O-line prospects? Babaloa. These are some notes from Matt. I got these from Matt before the show. Said Oklahoma's involved. Some other teams are involved as well. He's going to be here on June the 14th for an OV. So Tennessee's obviously in some pretty good standing there. Want to cash in on the OV. Douglas Utu coming into town this weekend. So that's going to be an important visit and kind of see where Tennessee stands after that. Josh Petty, they like him. Still evaluating him. Might like him more in the interior. And if that's the case, with other teams recruiting him as a tackle, what does Petty think about that? I think that's kind of in a wait and see mode, but they like him and they're still evaluating him. And then Gaston is going to be here this weekend. They really like Glenn Ellerby. But again, this weekend's going to be big for that. So Tennessee's very much involved in a lot of these tackles and offensive linemen.
Take them all. Take all those tackles. And then if they can't play tackle or you're too deep at tackle, you slide them inside and play them at guard.
Yep.
Take them all. First one, jump in. First four, jump in. However many want to jump in, I'm taking every one of them. David Sanders, all of them. Come on in, right? I mean, the kid from New Jersey, bring them all in. I wouldn't have a pecking order. If somebody called me at a tackle spot and said, I want to come play for you, I'd go, all right, we'll get your graphic to you in a couple of minutes. We'll be ready to go. You just don't turn down offensive tackles. If you've evaluated them as a take, even if maybe they're take three instead of take one, you're taking them. Take.
It's where you are right now with your roster. Got a couple more.
For everybody, it's hard. Nobody's got depth at the tackle spot.
Let's go to Neyland Troughs, and I love that screen name so much. Had a good one last week. Neyland Troughs is much better this week. What is the percentage that the UTC game will get moved to Thursday? Just trying to figure out how I should book my flight. Any talk about that game getting moved to Thursday? Tennessee's obviously done that in the past.
I mean, yeah, there's been some behind the scenes, you know, talk about, I think that as some have a desire to do that. I think Josh Heupel would like to open every Thursday night from a football standpoint, if he could. Every year he'd like to open on Thursday night. You get to start fall camp 2 days earlier, and it gives you an extra 2 days to prepare for your second week opponent, which is generally a better opponent than your opener. And NC State's playing on Thursday night, so you know he wants to play even more on Thursday night this year. That being said, I'm not sure that that's going to happen. I'm not going to say 100% no that it doesn't get moved, but I will be surprised if that game is not played on Saturday against UTC as it stands now. I have a hard time seeing that. Tennessee's going to play open next year on the road. The last 2 years, they've either opened on the road or they've opened on a Thursday night. They've not had a Saturday opener in a while, and I think that they're going to have a Saturday. I think that there's a lot of people want them to have a Saturday opener for the fans. Football-wise, I get where those guys come from, but I think there's going to be some people say, you know, for the fans, we need to play Saturday at noon instead of on a Thursday night. My guess is Saturday right now.
When was the last Saturday home opener?
Well, I just rattled off three or four.
I mean, however, they're also got to consider, I think they'd be going against Loudoun on North City that night too on Rivalry Thursday. Kane, is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Which Georgia State that
might be a big stumble block. I don't know if they want to do that.
I think for the university side, the Thursday deals are hard to put together. There's a lot to getting campus ready for a ball game on Thursday, because it's not just traffic and parking, but you got to do your tailgates. You got to block off, you know, parking lots, and you've got to set up tents, and
you got to get employees and students off campus.
Right. It's not an easy challenge.
And it's hard to get it to be business as usual at 8 a.m. Friday morning after the circus comes to town.
And when you've got a fan base that's at a pretty good fever pitch, you got a waiting list for season tickets, you know, they don't love the fact that you're not changing SEC teams between 24 and 25. I just think there's some people over there in decision-making world that say, you know what, we need to look out for the fans here. And I think that's what they'll ultimately do. Listen, it may change. And so don't book your flight based on this, Neyland Tross. Give it a few more days, you know, a couple weeks. I don't think this is going to be something that, hey, they're going to come out July 1st and go, hey, we're going to play that game on Thursday. I don't think that's going to be any kind of scenario at all. So, give it a few more days and make sure nothing's happening there. But ultimately, I think it feels like it's going to end up staying on Saturday.
All right, so we'll end with this one. This is from Sloppy Vol, and he has a long list of names here. He says, anything outlandish here for the starting two deep for August the 31st? And he lists players at each position. Let's just go down the list, and if we disagree with something, let's say what we would say. Quarterback's Nico. We all agree there. Running back Sampson. Yep. Wide receivers Brew, Squirrel, and then he puts Brazel Thornton as the other one. Obviously, there's a competition for the other one, but we've already mentioned on the show that, you know, Brew and Squirrel are going to be out there for sure. Tight ends is Stays and Davis, okay. Left tackle's Hurd. At left guard, he has Sham or Carrick. That's still wide open, Brent. I mean, Dane Davis is in that conversation. Jackson Lampley's in that conversation. Sham, Carrick. That one's still wide open. I think it's more than just those two guys, right?
I think that one, when they hand out the proverbial two deep after Josh Heupel's press conference on game week, where he doesn't have to take any questions about the two deep. So you give it out after the press conference is over. That one will have the most justified oars of any spot. And there may be three or four oars on that one. And I think there's some justified there. My thing with Brew is, he'll be out there if he's healthy enough to be out there. Just exactly where is he going to be health-wise on that deal? The rest of it seems to make a lot of sense. I think Ethan Davis starts at tight end over Holden Stays.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, like, they're both going to play.
So is Ketzelman. I mean, they'll play all three tight ends. I mean, they may play Ketzelman before they play Stays, for all we know. I mean, all three of those guys are going to play, I won't say an equal number, but a pretty evenly dispersed amount of snaps, I believe.
Yeah, Mays, Spraggins, Campbell, that's right. He goes to defense. I'm going to skip over the defensive line because they're going to play 14 guys. Your pecking order at Leo is James Pierce, Joshua Josephs, Caleb Herring, you know, and then your you know, Big O and Eason. And, I mean, again, they're going to play all those guys. So let's go to linebacker. He says Peely and then Carter or Tealander. I think if Aaron Carter's healthy, he's got a proven fall camp. But I think Arian Carter could be the quote-unquote starter. But I'm also intrigued, you know, Brian John Marie played a lot of guys. Will William Inge play four or five linebackers a game? I'm intrigued to see that, because if that's the case, then Herring will play. Jeremiah Tealander is going to play along with Peely and Arian Carter.
Yeah, but is Tealander going to play outside, or is he going to be Peely's backup on the inside?
I mean, they're both. I mean, I know Tealander, you got trips Tealander out there. You go out
to, I mean, Elijah Herring and Tealander played inside last year in replacement to Keenan Peely. They didn't play out there where Beasley and Carter played last year. So are they becoming multiple guys that play both linebacker positions? I don't know the answer to that question. I see Tealander working behind Peely when I watch practice reps. I see him working in that deal. So is he going to be a guy who plays either linebacker position? Brian Jean-Marie did not have everybody be able to play both linebacker positions. Beasley could, but not everybody else could play both positions. So where is Tealander with that? I don't know the answer to that.
And then in the secondary, he lists McCoy and McMurray as one corner, Gibson and Matthews as the other. And then at Star, he's got Jordan Thomas and Slaughter. Slaughter's a safety, so it'll be Jordan Thomas and Boo Carter. And then the other safety would be Jacoby Thomas. Again, I think a lot of that's just kind of up in the air right now, how they depend on spring and fall camp. But hopefully they play a lot of those guys in the secondary and have a pretty good rotation. But those corners would be Gibson, McCoy, McMurray, and then kind of a bracket of Conyer and Matthews right now, wouldn't you say?
I mean, the question is, are they going to play four or are they going to play three at corner? Do they feel confident in their fourth? I think they feel confident in three. And that's Gibson, that's McCoy, and that's McMurray playing either side. The question is there a fourth guy there or are they going to rotate three at the corner position? I don't – we'll see. I think that's to be determined.
If Jordan Thomas is healthy, does Boo Carter play? Does he see some snaps?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you got to play him. And again, we talked earlier, you know, Robbie, coaches want to play on Thursday night or whatever. You're playing Chattanooga in the opener, right? Like, I mean, I understand, you know, my stance on this deal. We got to play the first possession of the second or the third quarter to know how to come out of the locker room at the half ready to play. Eh, whatever. You should have everybody out of their shoulder pads in that game, and you should be playing everybody that you dress that day some significant snaps. So I think from the get-go you play those guys, and that helps you with your evaluation of things.
Yeah, I couldn't agree.
It's a great game to play a bunch of people.
I couldn't agree with that more. I mean, I know coaches, you know, head coaches have their different opinions. That, to me, would be like the last scrimmage of fall camp.
You mean up 30 and a knee brace on Joe Milton's right knee coming out in the second half wasn't smart? I mean, come on. What game was that? Was that – it wasn't Akron. It was UTSA, whatever it was. Like, sitting there like, what are you doing? Anyway, I digress. I agree with that as well. That's it. Appreciate you guys for sending in all your questions here for this Thursday taping of the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast. As always, a big thank you to our friends Exterior Home Solutions for making this coverage possible. They've been local and trusted since 1999. You can pick up the phone for a free estimate by calling 865-524-5888 or visit them online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. For Rob Lewis, Brent Hubbs, I am Eric Kane. Thanks so much for being here and hanging out with us here on the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast.
You've been listening to the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast every week right here on VolQuest.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.